You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Amen, amen. Man, who's ready for church tonight? Man, it's going to be fun. It is going to be fun. You can grab a seat on your way down. Once you just ask your neighbor if they have a date on Valentine's night. If they say no, they must be somewhat interested, because if they weren't interested, they'd say yes and they would lie. So there's an opening for you. Just trying to help some people out. Trying to make it plain. It's right. I'm trying to connect some people up in here. Before I get into anything, I just want to take a quick moment to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Come on. It's always a privilege to preach on their pulpit. And also your campus pastors, Pastor John, Pastor Becky. Two of the greatest people you'll ever meet. Listen, if you want a piece of advice and you're not sure what to do, just find John and Becky and ask them, what do you need me to do? That's going to help you a lot. Don't make it more complicated than what it is. Just read your Bible, pray, and ask John and Becky, what can I do to help? And your campus pastor will love you. Amen, somebody. And John didn't even pay me $10 to say that. You owe me 20 bucks. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Coming from a campus pastor's perspective, that's going to help you out. But anyway, Relationomics series. Who is excited for this? Oh my gosh. I mean, you can feel the Holy Spirit, sure, but you can also feel there's like relationships in the air right now as well. I just have this feeling after that musical item especially. Maybe you're sitting in here tonight and maybe you're single. Well, this could be your time. This is your series. Don't miss church ever. Just a little show of hands here. Now, who's single? Just give me a wave. Who's single? Oh, man. All right. Who's married? Who's married with multiple children? Oh, that's what. Usually that's a little less loud. Usually the single people are the loudest. And if you're at home, right now on live stream, we welcome you as well. And just give us a shout out for whatever you are in that category. That's awesome. But, I'm the Connect Groups pastor. So part of my job description is to connect people to connect groups. But, I like to go outside of the job description a little bit and like to connect people relationally. And that's part of my mission in life is just, because I've got to be honest here. I'm a little bit frustrated, Pastor John. Pastor David, I'm a little bit frustrated. I see a lot of young people around that just aren't dating and they just need to start dating each other. And I'm just like over it. I'm sick of hearing, like, there's no good people at church. I need to go online. There's no good people. There's hundreds of good people at church. Hundreds. So no, I'm serious. Who is single and wants a date? Like, just be honest now. Who is single and wants a date? Like, I'm not kidding, man. I'm going to make a date happen right now. Deshaun? Deshaun is single, wants a date. Deshaun? Oh my gosh. Deshaun, just come here for a minute. Oh yeah, get on the stage, whatever. Well, I've already picked her out. Where's Providence at? Providence, come here. Come here, Providence. Come here. Come here, come here. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Now, hey, so Deshaun, this is Providence. She's lovely. She's a worship leader, and you're a worship leader. Hey, I'm totally unprepared, but I just happen to see a couch over here. Oh my gosh, there's a couch. And I believe we've got two flat whites and some candy and some soda. There you go, you guys. You can just go have a little date during service. So go sit there together. Help her down the stairs, brother. Come on. All right. All right. Not a good start. Deshaun, you're 0 from 1 right now. But it's okay. No holding hands. This is church. We have some drinks for you. So I'm just trying to help connect some people here. I'm sick of this. I'm over it, man. I'm helping you out. I'll be keeping an eye on you during service, okay? People tell me, oh man, I can't find a spouse. You need to find a spouse in the house. I'm sick of this. Looking everywhere else. All you need to do is come up and give me $20 and I'll give thanks to Sean Yomi $20 and I'll get you on a couch. Anyway, just trying to help connect people so that people stop wasting several years of their life. Now, I got two cars. One of my cars has six preset radio stations. Six, like most cars. So it takes me about 10 to 12 seconds to decide what I'm listening to. My other car has this other radio. I think it's called Sirius XM X, I don't know, something. It has endless stations. It has endless stations. One time I was driving from LAX to San Diego, and I think around Oceanside, I stopped trying to find a good song because I just kept on flicking and flicking because there was always something that could have been better that was on. I feel like that's some people in relationships. You just keep flicking, not good enough, not perfect enough. There's a tiny little flaw. You're going to be flicking a whole lot longer, okay? Make a choice. Anyway, that's just a little thought. That's just a little thought. Anyway, who's ready to have church tonight? Come on. Let's kick off Relationomics. Guys, I'm going to help you out here. I've got some Christian pickup lines. You ready for it? Christian pickup lines. Because again, I'm just here to serve the people. I'm here to help the people. I want you all to connect with each other at connect groups. And I want some of you to get married this year. So let's do it. Let's do this. Ready? Hey, girl. They all start with, hey, girl. Hey, girl. My name is Will. God's will for your life. Hey girl, your middle name must be Grace because you are amazing. This one's all right. Hey girl, how would you like to join my purpose-driven life? Rick Warren, if you're watching, we love you. We love the book. This one's more of a Jesus culture kind of one. You may not get it. Some of you won't get it. It's kind of out there. Hey girl, do you prefer sloppy wet kiss or unforeseen kiss? No kissing over here. Oh my gosh. Hey girl, is your name Faith? Because you're the evidence of things I've hoped for. Just trying to help the guys out. Last one. This is really for the My City folks especially. Hey girl, my parents are home. You want to come over? All the parents say amen to that. Amen to that. Come on, somebody. I'm helping people out here. I'm helping you out, men. Because we got men, you got to be men. You got to be men. Come on, you got to take some initiative. Ask a girl out. Walk across the room. Hey girl. My name is, whatever your name is, what's your name? She'll respond with her name. You'll say, hey, you know, I see that you're a human being and you eat. I eat too. Maybe we could eat something together. Oh, you're fasting. When does the fast end? Well, then we'll book it in then. Like, there's a way. We got men. You got to be men. You got to be men. Don't make it more spiritual than it has to be. Don't ever tell a girl that God told you you were going to marry her. Don't ever do that. It's a bad move. That's just a little something for free. Don't ever do that. And ladies got to be ladies. Because no guy wants to marry a groupie. You got to make sure he chases you more than you're chasing him. You know, when it comes to dating Christians, they're kind of, most of them are in two different categories, right? You've got the desperate and dateless, who are like on the extreme end of asking people out. But for most part, most people at C3 are not a classy, right? So they're not on that extreme. You've got the other extreme, which is the passive. I'm just going to wait for God to deliver me a spouse into my hands. Like one night we'll just be worshiping and oceans will be on. Spirit, lead me. And I'll be here and she'll be here. And we'll just glance over and it's like our hands will come together and we'll couples worship and God will just make it all happen and I won't have to do anything. Faith without works is dead, people. You might have to do something about it too. I'm just trying to help you out. All right, let's go. Here we go. I've got a disclaimer. We need to get into this. I've got a disclaimer tonight, and I want to say this in all seriousness. I'm not interested tonight in talking about your past. I'm not here to talk about the things you've messed up in. I'm not here to talk about the beds you shouldn't have been in. I'm not here to talk about the mistakes you made that have beaten you up. I'm not here to talk about any of that stuff. And I don't want you to think through the filter of any of that stuff tonight. God's not interested in the former. He says, forget the former things. He wants you to forget about some former things so you can lay hold of some new things. So tonight, I want you to hear me through that filter. Because if you hear what I'm saying through the guilt filter, if you hear what I'm saying through the in the former things filter, you ain't going to get to where God needs you to be. So I have to say that up front, because the devil's got some people on the ropes and he's kicking their butt, and I'm over it. I'm over it. Forget the former things. We're not here to talk about mistakes that you've made in the past. We're here to talk about your future in Christ. Amen. 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 Let's do this thing. Genesis 25, verse 27. The story of Jacob and Esau, two twin brothers, sons to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau was the firstborn. And back in these times, the firstborn was a pretty big deal, a much bigger deal than it might be today. So when you're a firstborn, it means you have the first inheritance. Anyway, let's just pick it up from verse 27 of chapter 25. As the boys grew up, Jacob and Esau, as they grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home and do quilting. He was not going to emerge conference like he should have been. Could have been avoided. Verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob because Jacob was a mama's boy. Verse 29, one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starving, give me some of that stew. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son for some stew. Verse 32, look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? See, he's no value in his birthright because he's looking at the thing that's in front of him, not the thing that he actually has. Verse 33, but Jacob said, first you must swear your birthright to me. So then Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all of his rights as the firstborn to his brother. Because you make bad choices when you're hangry. You make bad choices. You could be driving home, and you know at home you've got a kale smoothie that you should be having. But then you drive past the Colonel and you make a bad choice, because you're making a choice in a bad place. Never make a good choice when you're in a bad place. When you allow yourself to become so starved and hungry, you make a bad choice. He made a bad choice. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. What a sad story. What a ripoff. What a ripoff. Esau got ripped off. One of the worst business transactions of all time. Talk about getting ripped off. He sold himself so short because he was desperate. Because he was desperate. For some stew, for some lentil stew. What? I mean, maybe I would understand if it was a spicy chicken deluxe meal from Chick-fil-A with large waffle fries and a regular Diet Coke with three Chick-fil-A sauces on the side, two for the fries for dipping and one for the sandwich. Maybe then I'd understand. Maybe then I'd understand. But even then, it would have been a bad deal. It still would have been a moment, and you would have enjoyed the Chick-fil-A sauce, and then it would have been over, and you would have been wondering, what have I done? I have given up something so precious for something so small and so momentary. The enemy comes to you and I just like Jacob came to Esau. He wants you and I to trade our eternal promises for short-term pleasures. The title of my message tonight is Don't Settle for the Stew. Don't settle for the stew. Let me pray And let's get into this. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everybody listening. God, I just declare over every single person tonight that you would speak to them. God, not my words, but your words be said tonight. God, I want to see lives change. I want to see people set free from stuff from their past. And I want to see people walking in what you have for them, not settling for what the enemy has in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The enemy wants you to settle. He wants you to downgrade your life. He wants you to downgrade every area of your life. He wants you to downgrade the vision you have for your life. He wants you to downgrade the future spouse that you dream of for your life. Ladies, he wants you to downgrade that dream you have for that man you have. At some point, you were full of faith. Man, God's got such a great man for me. But then some stuff comes up. Some stuff comes along. Some idiot rips your heart out. Or you make a bad choice. Or you get discouraged. Or something goes down. And so you downgrade the vision. You start to settle. Oh man, I used to believe God for a man of God, but now I just settle for, you know, some flaky guy that comes to church 1.4 times a month and doesn't tithe. That's a flaky guy. That's the definition of a flaky guy. And then they downgrade even more. I guess he doesn't have to be a Christian. Ladies, the first question you need to ask yourself is, does he love Jesus? Does he love Jesus? I'm not saying, does he love the concept of Jesus? Does he love an idea of a savior? Does he love an idea? Does he love Jesus? Does he obey Jesus? Does the man come to church early and serve? Is there some fruit in the man's life? Does he love Jesus is the first question you ask before you're emotional, not the last question you check up on when it's too late. I'm just going to talk to you ladies like you're all my younger sister right now. This is Big Brother Drew, Uncle Drew, whatever. Does he love Jesus? Not does he have a cross tattoo, does he carry the cross? Does he carry the cross? And I'm all into tattoos. Get a tattoo. If you're online and you're upset about that, I'm sorry. Whatever. I don't care if you have a cross tattoo, but make sure he carries the cross, ladies. And you know, he may have great abs, but guess what? Those abs aren't going to do any good to you in the middle of a Jerry Springer moment in your living room. He won't. Those abs don't matter. They don't matter. Is he bringing you to church on a Sunday? Is he leading you in Christ? They are the questions that we need to be asking, amen? Where are the guys at? All the single guys. This doesn't apply just for the single ladies. I'm telling you. Young guys, passionate about Jesus. In their teenage years, they're pumped up. Man, I'm going to do something great for God with my life. They go to My City Youth on a Friday night because that's what you do. That's what you do. You go to My City Youth on a Friday night. And I know this because I was at youth every Friday night from when I was 12 years old to when I was 25 years old. So I've seen enough of it. These young guys, they're pumped up about God and they're passionate about God. And then they hit 18 or 19 and they just decide to, not so drastically, but just subtly, just start to settle. They just start to settle. I used to believe God that I would have a woman of God as a wife, but oh gosh, no, I don't want to wait around. I don't know if I could trust God for that. So they start to settle and settle and settle and settle. And they find themselves just like Esau, settling, tragically settling. And we got guys that are looking at girls for what's on their chest, not what's in their heart. We got guys, I'm just gonna go there. We got guys that are so shallow that it's like, come on. Ask her if she loves Jesus firstly. Let's establish that and go from there. Go from there. Don't be one of those guys. I'm telling you, I had a friend of mine when I was much younger. I was in youth ministry. Man, this guy was pumped up. He was passionate about God. He was one of those guys where we thought, you know what? And fast forward in 10 years' time, I'm sure this guy is going to be doing something great. And then this girl came along and he started looking at the wrong things, the wrong places and he started dating this girl. We're all like, dude, I don't think so, man. I'm not sure about this. Because when you put hot water and cold water together, the cold water does not become hot. The hot water becomes lukewarm. And I'm not going to stand around and let young people, or even older people, or anybody for that matter, anybody stand around and make a decision that's going to take them from hot to lukewarm. Someone say amen. That's something Pastor Jürgen actually said when I was in youth ministry when I was 16. He told me that. He told the whole auditorium people that. And it's always stuck with me. Hot water and cold water. You know, our relationships, not even just dating-wise, all of our relationships should be bringing us closer to Christ, not further than Christ. They should be bringing you closer. If you're wondering, man, how do I know if this relationship is a good idea or not? Are you walking closer to Christ and are they walking closer to Christ? That's a good question to start with. And here's the thing, the enemy does not have to get you to sell out. He just has to get you to sell short. He just has to get you to settle. To settle. And you'll keep settling down and down you go. He wants you looking at all the wrong ones so then you don't see the right one. But let me encourage you today, don't settle for the stew. Don't be like Esau and don't settle. Amen. Amen. All right. Moving right along here. You know the root issue, I believe, maybe one of the root issues. There's probably a few. But one of the root issues why people often settle for the stew is because they don't actually trust that God has something better for them than the stew. And this is applicable not just in relationships, this is in anything in your life. They don't trust that God has something better. If Esau had taken a time out, he may not have made that choice. If he had trusted God for something better rather than what was being presented to him at that time of desperation. Let me mess with your perspective just for a minute. Maybe the issue is less about lust, and it's more about trust. Maybe the reason why people jump into beds with people that they know they shouldn't is less about their lust problem and more about their trusting God for something better problem. And I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm saying that to inspire you because it's much easier to fix the trust problem than the lust problem. When you fix the lust problem will take care of itself because when that opportunity comes up, I don't think so, man. I don't think so because I'm trusting God. I know that He's got better plans for me than hopping into bed with you. I know He's got better plans for me, amen? You see, not trusting God will always end up with people settling for less. The foundation of walking with Jesus is trust and faith. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of your heart or part of your heart. I trust God for this thing, but I can't trust Him for that. I can trust God for this area of my life. I can trust Him for my career. I can trust Him for this, but I can't trust Him for that. I've got to hang on to that. Trust God. Let me just tell you again, trust God. Just trust Him. Trust Him because God is writing your script. He is writing your rom-com and He is casting Ryan Gosling to play the lead role, ladies. He is. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says this, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has a race for you and I to run. He doesn't want you and I to get stuck. He doesn't want you and us to get slowed down or entangled or ensnared in the sin and the weight of the world. And then verse 2 says here, check this out. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher.
trust that Jesus is not just the author who started the story, but he's the finisher who's going to finish the story. Just like he finishes our faith, trust him, he's going to finish your story. Trust that he's going to finish your love story, and it has a good ending. There's a profound difference between acting in the movie and writing the script. And sometimes you gotta learn, and I gotta learn, that we gotta give God his pen back and let him write the story that is his to start with. Play your role and let God play his role. Don't confuse God's timing with your deadline. We want God to work on our timelines and our deadlines, but God has plans. And we don't always understand them, but at some point you will. And you'll think, ah, oh, yes, now I get it. But in the meantime, trust. In the meantime, trust. Trust God with your love story. Trust God and you won't settle. You know, single people, maybe the single season is more about your preparation than it is about your frustration. Maybe God's putting you in a season of preparation as a single person, but you're trading the preparation for frustration. Because there are things that God can do in you as a single person that he can't do in you when there's somebody else attached to your hip. And instead of being frustrated, look at it through the filter of, this is my preparation. God's making me whole as a single person so that when I meet another single person and they're whole, we can then be one. Don't ever despise your single season. We got single people wanting to be married. We got married people wanting to be single. I mean, just love the season that you're in and let God do whatever he wants to do for you in the season that you're in. Embrace your season. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, we've bought into a lie that two halves become one. Two halves become one. Like we're halves. Like we're half people. You can go to Costco and get a half chicken. Even Lieutenant Dan, who didn't have legs, was still a whole person. So what's all this talk about halves coming together? Let me tell you, when you have two halves getting together, when you have two people who are half people getting together, amen, Quatcha. That's right. We got problems. We got problems when we have half people getting together. Your single season is not about you becoming a half person. Your single season is about you becoming a whole person. So when you find someone else who is whole, you can then be functional together. Mark 10, verse 7 says this, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two. 1 + 1 = 2. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Marriage has never been about two halves becoming one. It's about two ones becoming one. And when you embrace that single season, God will do something in you that you'll be ready for when the marriage season comes. When you're single, come on, focus on being whole. When you're married, you can focus on being unified, and it's going to work out well for you. Hey, the band, you guys can come up. We're going to wrap this up in just a minute. I'm helping some people tonight. I hope that on Valentine's night that we got people, you know, going out together and, you know, in a controlled environment, having sushi together, and you're reading Ephesians or something like that. Yeah. Don't take me out of context. Don't be like, hey, girl, you want to come over to my house where there's no one home? And no. Take it easy. Take it easy. You know, faithfulness is underrated. Faithfulness is underrated. Purity is underrated. Purity is so underrated. Celibacy is underrated. It's underrated. Like, you know, no one gives a big shout out for celibacy, but they really should. You know, Because the world's bought into this lie. They celebrated promiscuity, that they made it look so appealing. But it's such a ripoff. It's such a bad deal. It's like the stew. It's a ripoff. It's short of what God has for you. And this is just as applicable for married people as it is single people. Don't think that because you're married, you're not going to have an opportunity for some stew at some point. Don't trade it. Don't trade it. Don't trade it. It's not a good deal. You're going to feel ripped off. You know, the enemy has done a great job. The devil, I'll give him this. He's a good salesman. He's a good salesman. He's done a good job at selling FOMO to people. FOMO is a cool acronym for fear of missing out. I feel really cool knowing that. I'm really cool. I have MySpace and everything. I'm really cool. I'm relevant to the young people. Enemy has done a good job at selling people that you're missing out. In fact, it's one of his greatest tricks. And it all started in a garden with an apple. Fear of missing out. Don't think for a moment that you're missing out or you're being ripped off because you're making the right choice. And it may seem harder. Up front, the price of celibacy is probably more expensive, but the return on investment over time is so much greater. And again, to reiterate my first disclaimer, I'm not here to talk about what's behind you. I'm here to talk about what's ahead of you. Forget the former. Forget what's behind you. Today is a new day. It's a new day for somebody. It's a new day for somebody today. Amen. One more story and then we're going to finish. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Joseph. I love Joseph. This is a guy that didn't settle for stew. Genesis 39. Potiphar's wife's given him a hard time. Really hard time. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. He did CrossFit. Picked up massive tires and flipped them over. I don't know. I don't get it. Verse 7. And Potiphar's wife. We don't even give her a name in the Bible. She's just Potiphar's wife. Soon began to look at him lustfully because he was strong and fit and did CrossFit. Come and sleep with me, she said. She actually demanded. She demanded that he come and sleep with her. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. You are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against who? Against God. Because when no one else would have known, when no one else was looking, it would have been a great sin against God. You know what I love about this story is that Joseph didn't call his accountability partner. I love that. And I'm all into accountability partners. If you've got one, keep one, whatever. But Joseph didn't get on the phone in this moment of temptation and say, oh, yeah, Bobby. Mate, it's Joseph here. How you doing? I don't know why Joseph's overly Australian. Yeah, mate, you wouldn't believe the pickle I'm in right now. Potiphar's wife's here and she's totally cracking onto me. And I just figured, you know, because you're my accountability partner, I'd call you. Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm going to deny her. But just, you're my accountability partner. So I'm going to call you and tell you, and then you're going to follow up with me how I went. Thanks, mate. Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you then. And listen, I'm into accountability partners. Have accountability in your life. I'm not saying do not have accountability at all. The reason why Joseph said no was not because he had an accountability partner, but because he had a conviction. He had a conviction between him and God to be faithful. To be faithful. It's underrated. Faithfulness is underrated. Purity is underrated. Celibacy is underrated. But Joseph said no because he had a conviction to be faithful, even when no one would have known, when no one was watching. He still makes the choice to be faithful. And if he'd settled for the stew, I would say that his story would have been different. He would have been the guy in the Bible where we think, Joseph, what a crazy story, what a sad ending. But he didn't. He had a conviction. You know, one thing I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit will actually convict you before a moment. So then the devil doesn't have a foothold to guilt you after that moment. Let's continue on with the story. Joseph, verse 10. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. The guy is avoiding her. He is dodging her. So you couldn't have a mistake, accidental. He's dodging her. That's how much integrity the guy has. One day, however, no one else was around when he came in to do his work. She grabbed him by his cloak, demanding him again, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand and he ran from the house. You see, Joseph had to choose. He had a choice to make. Am I going to be faithful or not? Am I going to settle or not? Am I going to settle for the stew? I'm in the same spot Esau's in. I have a choice to make. I got a choice to make, and it may not be an easy choice. It may be a hard choice to make, but he made the choice. He chose faithfulness. He chose his purity. He didn't bow to his feelings. He didn't bow to his humanity. He didn't bow to all the different excuses. Well, I'm just a guy. I've got hormones. I've got feelings. Man, he had every excuse he could have pulled out of the book, but he didn't. What I love about Joseph, what I love the most about Joseph is that he had more vision for his future than the temptation that was put before him. He had more vision for his future than what that opportunity was when it presented to him. I think God wants to tell somebody tonight that you've got a bigger future than that booty call. You got a bigger future. You got a bigger future than that one night stand. Come on. You got a bigger future than that. God's got a bigger future for you than those things that you know you're grappling with. He has a bigger future for you. Young person, he has a bigger future for you than that guy that you know you shouldn't be dating, that everyone's told you shouldn't be dating, your connect group leader said you shouldn't be dating. He has a bigger future for you, but will you trust him? Will you not say yes to the lentil stew? Will you trust him? Will you break up with that boyfriend? Everyone's telling you not to trade it in. Listen, I hope you break up with him right now. I hope you break. Just film me, record me. Hey, boyfriend, I'm very sorry to inform you this. My name is Pastor Drew, and you're getting this video because your girlfriend, insert name here, is at a church service, and she has decided that you're a meathead, and she is going to break up with you. Because she's not going to trade her future for some lentil stew. She ain't gonna give it all away for some meathead boyfriend. And just to finish the video, I live in South Bay. I have South Campus, and I got gangsters in my church, and they got cousins. Come on, God's got a bigger future for you. Don't trade it in for lentil soup. Come on, somebody. I'm not just talking to the single people. I'm talking to the married people. Don't trade any parts of your life in for lentil stew. Don't give the devil anything. Don't give him your career. Don't give him your finances. Don't downgrade a single thing. God's got a plan for you. Jesus didn't hang on the cross so that you and I could live mediocrity, average, lame, settling lives. He died so we would live an amazing life. Never downgrade it. Don't settle for the lentil. Believe God. Trust God. He has a beautiful plan for your life. Come on, someone shout amen. Someone shout amen. Come on, sing it.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. All consuming. Consume me here in your presence. Lord, I surrender to your glory.
shout. Oh! Woo! Let's just take a minute. I encourage you, maybe just close your eyes for a second. I know with a word like that right now, the devil's working overtime to bring shame and guilt in people's heads. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, just so you know, in context, Romans 7 is all about struggling with sin. So let's put it in context. Romans 8:1, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen. It's really important. In the Hebrew, that word no means no. It's crazy. No condemnation. So let's take a minute. Drew said it so well. The issue is not so much a lust or sin issue, it's a trust issue. And this includes married people in the house. This includes everybody right now. Tonight, we're not leaving here until we get our trust in the right place. See, every great story has two parts. There's a conflict. Chalk up everything to this night, up until this night, as the conflict. And then there's a resolution. Jesus is the author and finisher of your story. Tonight is the resolution. So with everybody's eyes closed real quick, let's honor this moment. If you need to tell Jesus again, or for the first time, I want to trust you. I've been settling in some area I haven't trusted you, my future spouse, my current spouse, my current marriage, the person I'm dating, whatever it is, it could be anything. Right now, Holy Spirit, come in this room. Give us the courage to choose to let you bring the resolution. Right now, if you need to put your trust in Jesus for the first time or again, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. This is a moment, powerful, transforming moment. One, two, three. Would you lift your hand if you need to trust Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to miss this moment. You guys can all look up at me. There's a reason that there's a place in the church called the altar. It's where God alters people. And so I can pray with you, and we can close this service up right. And there were so many hands, so you're not going to be alone. But if you raise your hand, and we're all going to cheer for you because we trust Jesus and we want to be there for you. And if you want to come with a friend, but right now, if you put your hand up, will you come to the front? Let's pray together. Our team's going to be up here too. Come on. Come on. Get out of your seat. Be brave. Yes, God can change you there, but He wants to do something mighty. He wants to put a stake in the ground. So proud of you. Come on. Come on. Come on down. Don't hesitate. Come on. You raise your hand up here. Come on down. Trusting, trusting, trusting God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on, church. Keep cheering. Keep cheering. If you're sitting by somebody that raised their hand and they're not moving, help them. Say, I'll walk with you. If you're sitting by somebody that should have raised their hand, say, hey, I'll walk with you. Come on. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Come on. That's beautiful. Brave people. Brave people. The best is yet to come. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Powerful moment. I want to encourage everyone that came up here, and anybody that maybe raised your hand and just a little too scary, God's still for you and you can trust Him. But let's all pray this prayer together. With these people up here, as God is just moving on this altar, He's healing. This is the resolution, the conflict. God is now starting a new course. Thank you, God. Church, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you and I give you the direction of my life. I take myself out of the steering position and I put you in the driver's seat. Come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. I trust you. I trust your word. I will do this the way you have commanded me to do this. I walk forward into the plans that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. So proud of everyone that came up. Okay. So, real quick, right here, this is Ryan. He is also a full-time supermodel, not part-time. And we've got a response line. There's people behind you that just want to pray with you. You know, maybe this is the first time you ever trusted Jesus, and they want to just put you on the next step, give you a Bible if you need a Bible. We got a gift and a book, but they're going to pray with you real quick. So if you guys could just turn to your right, my left, and follow the handsome Ryan Smith real quick. We love you guys. In church, let me encourage you. Come on, let's give them a hand as they go first. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. So many people. So many people. Woo! I want to pray a blessing over everyone here, and also just want to encourage you, this relationship series is going to be so powerful. I mean, we're going to talk about marriages. We're going to talk about friendships. We're going to talk about, like, get real, like, how to go to counseling and do what you got to do to thrive in the way God wants you to thrive. And, you know, so don't leave church tonight if any of your relationomics are on the downturn. Our ministry team will be up here and we want to pray with you. We'll, whatever it takes, God's going to do miracles. So bring friends, bring family, bring people, because we all have relationships, friendships, and this series is going to touch on all of those as we go through it. So lift your hands to heaven. God, we thank you for this beautiful church. We thank you for this powerful word. We thank you that the truth was spoken in love, and God, that your grace flourishes when the truth is out there, and that your people walk victorious, Lord, that we walk out of this house encouraged and ready to take on what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for relationships and friendships. I declare that there's anyone in this house that is lonely right now in this series, this is the resolution time. This is the time for breakthrough. Marriages that are on the rocks right now in the name of Jesus are coming back together in this series. Dating relationships are thriving and pure until they're married, and then it's on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I prayed that. Have a great night, church. Take somebody out to dinner. We love you, and we'll see you next weekend right here at the 5 p.m.